This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you could check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, if you don't know much about what we do at the office, we look at whole health. I think one of the greatest downfalls that we have as a society is that we put so much stock in symptoms, right? So much stock in symptoms. And let me give you an example, right? For example, thyroid, right? Someone's tired, they're fatigued. First thing that we tend to look at is thyroid, right? Makes sense. It swells a lot of those hormones, right? And so we look, and if it's too high or if it's too low, one of the first things that we do is we say, hey, here's a pill for this. And what's interesting is I go through more advanced education, schooling, functional medicine training. What I'm finding more and more and more is that the thyroid is often not primary. What does that mean? That means that we look at that as the primary root cause, right? If your thyroid is shutting down, it's because your thyroid's not working. It's shutting down. But no one actually tells you, like, hey, do you know that there is, your adrenals as well as your thyroid, your pituitary gland, those all come into play together. Did you know that? And so is it really a thyroid problem, or could it possibly be that that is an adrenal problem that now is affecting your thyroid? But what I see is how many practitioners say, oh, damage to adrenals, that's not even like a thing. You know, why would we look at adrenals? They can't burn out. There's no such thing as adrenal burnout. Like, really? Because oddly enough, we do a urinalysis that actually lets you see biomarkers, which is intermediates, and that says you can. And odd, because as we go through and we actually fix the adrenals, that actually changes too, right? Or like, oh my goodness gracious, my back hurts. Oh, my back hurts. My back hurts. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. My back hurts. You get injections, right? Okay, here we go. We are going to inject the lower spine to make you feel better, decrease the nerves, no big deal. But they found that it has an effect, that corticosteroid has an effect on your HPA, your hypothalamic pituitary axis, HPA, which affects your thyroid. So one of the side effects of that is hypothyroidism. So is that something really wrong with your thyroid? Is your thyroid just a secondary to that? Right. And so that's really when we look at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, when we look at the body as a whole, you start to see things change. But the problem is that everyone's addressing, you know, think about how many doctors we have. Something goes wrong and you have one for your heart, you have one for your lungs, you have one for your thyroid, you have one for your digestion, you have one for your hormones, you have one for, right, so you have all of these doctors who you have charts, yes, but how many of them talk to one another to address the underlying cause of the problem? So the ones that are looking at your thyroid, are they looking at your adrenals? The ones that are looking at your thyroid, are they also looking at that you had injections in your back from your neurologist? There's a time and a place for medicine. Don't get me wrong. I 100% believe that there's a time and a place. What if we started looking at the body as a whole as opposed to a sum of all of its parts? And that's what I see so much. I see so much that we don't see the big picture of things. We look at all the little ones, which is why it's so confusing, right? You go to the doctor, and as adults at this point, we know something's wrong. And we go in and we say, hey, something's not right. Something's not functioning. And they look at all of these labs and they say, everything looks great. Everything looks great. But at this point, it's like, okay, so are we just going to wait long enough for it to dysfunction in your blood to do something about it? Or do you find a doctor who can start looking a bit deeper, right? So again, you have blood work, but then you have biomarkers that actually look at how your Krebs cycle, what produces and turns food into energy. How is that working? How is your neurotransmitters, right? So your adrenals, how are those running? Do you have bacteria overgrowth, small intestinal bacteria overgrowth? Do you have yeast, candida, leaky gut? Do you have a toxicity? Do you have a problem detoxing, right? Because that's not going to show up. It's not going to show up. So it's one that you just have to find. Like, I encourage you, I implore you, you have to find someone who looks at the body as a whole. And I think that's one of the reasons why we have the ability to see so many success stories, so many testimonies, so many lives transformed and changed in our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, is because that's, we get down to the root cause. You know, I have headaches and I take a medication and my headaches go away. Okay, do you still have headaches? And patients will tell me no. But so when you stop taking that medication, well, I would never do that because my headaches would come back. So that medication doesn't get rid of your headaches. It just masks it. So it's just one that it's encouraging. It's exciting to be able to get down and be alongside and walk with people in their health journey. The fact that we've been instilled the trust of these individuals and we see these changes, it's amazing. It's just what we get to do every single day at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Initial exam and consultations, 25-317-893-2853, 317-893-2853. If you'd like more information, sit down with one of the docs, see what's going on and what we can do to help you. Now, we've got some great information on the docket for today, but before that, we've got some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Maybe today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
Today's Health in the News. It's interesting. They say they might be better for the planet, but are plant-based burgers good for you? They might be better for the planet, but are plant-based burgers good for you? I've got a couple different opinions on this. So if you know me, I'm sure you're not surprised that I have opinions about this, but bear with me. We'll work through all of it. So they talk about if you're looking for a vegetarian burger instead of a beef-based burger, important, beef-based burger, you're in luck these days. Two popular options, including the Impossible Burger in over 5,000 restaurants in the United States, Hong Kong, Singapore, and the Beyond Burger, available at more than 35,000 locations, including the meat aisle in supermarkets. These burgers are making a food chemistry at its finest, are the makings of food chemistry at its finest, and include ingredients that attempt to mimic the flavor, aroma, and even the quote-unquote bleeding color of meat. One of the Impossible Burger's ingredients is a genetically modified version of heme, an iron-containing molecule from soy plants, like the heme from animals, which is what gives its unique meaty flavor, according to the company's website. So an analysis of the meat alternative nutrition. So this is coming from, who is this coming from? Lisa Dreher from CNN, apparently a nutritionist. She said, right? She said, not me. As a nutritionist, she would say this: if you enjoy the taste of foam meat burgers and part of your food philosophy includes vegetarianism and eating to sustain the environment, but then by all means, you should feel free to enjoy an Impossible or Beyond Burger. If you are choosing to eat these burgers solely for their health values, you may want to reconsider. For example, the Impossible Burger has 240 calories and 8 grams of saturated fat, thanks to coconut oil. Mm-hmm. By comparison, 80% lean beef has 280 calories and 9 grams of saturated fat. So it's not a whole lot of difference. The Beyond Burger has less saturated fat than the beef or the Impossible Burger, but a similar calorie count, 250 per calorie. They say where Turkey Burger only has 4 to 5 grams of saturated fat. The protein content, and this is where I'll break this down a little bit, the protein content of burgers is similar as well. The Impossible Burger has 19 grams of protein from soy, and Beyond Burger has 20 grams from peas. Beef and Turkey Burger each have about 19 to 21 grams of protein, depending on the brand. So they talk about how the faux meat burger also ranks higher in sodium than beef and turkey burgers. Personally, if I wanted a plant-based burger, I would really... I want really a delicious veggie patty, not one with quote unquote fake blood. This is coming from the nutritionist. There are burgers, veggie burgers that have beets, brown rice, red peppers, quinoa, black burgers, jalapenos, and topped with wheatgrass, tomatoes, onion, avocado, and sprout. I would say if you're going to try to savor these meat mimicking burgers, then it's a win-win because you're contributing to the well-being of the planet while enjoying what you eat. But if you're eating these burgers simply in the name of saving calories, sodium, saturated fat, you may want to rethink your decision. So basically what they're saying is, hey, we have this burger, but is it really healthier? And this is one... So I know that there is a documentary that's come out more recently that has talked about the benefits of going meatless, vegetarian, veganism, right? Got some different schools of thought. Now, for this, they say, hey, it's really not that much healthier because of calories, but when you look at all the really great calories that come from coconut oil, is that really bad, right? Because those are saturated fats that help build cells, that are building block for hormones that are needed for brain development and cell development, right? Coconut oil is a really great oil. So they said, hey, it's still got a bunch of saturated fat. Well, I'll tell you, saturated fat isn't necessarily a bad thing. It depends on the source, right? Is it a good clean source or is it not a good clean source? They say, hey, there's a bunch of sodium. I can't really fight for that. but they say, hey, it actually has the same amount of protein. This is where I disagree. Right, there are good sources of protein that you can get. Now, there are some people who don't want to do protein because of the source, how it happens, right? We go down that road. But here's what you have to understand. That typically when you see long-term, people are vegan or strict vegetarian, and they don't have meat or marine sources of protein, right, meat or fish, They're amino acid deficient. And we know this because if you know anyone who is vegan or vegetarian, more than typically a couple months, they will be deficient in B12. Why? Because that's a source that you typically only can get from a meat-based food, right? And so same thing with amino acids. You have protein. Now, yes, they say, hey, for example, we've got similar protein, right? These have 19 to 20. Beef and turkey typically have 19 to 21, so similar. But the problem with, say, for example, soy is it's an incomplete protein. It doesn't contain all of the, it does contain all of them, but soy protein is not an ideal protein because it's deficient in essential amino acids like methionine, right? So methionine, so they're not all, you can have almonds, you can have soy, you can have, peas and beans. And the problem is that none of those are complete protein sources. And so over time, you don't really notice much of it, month, couple of months, because you have an amino acid reserve that your body uses when they need it. But once you run out, then what does it do, right? And that's where you start to see these deficiencies. And literally we do functional medicine testing and are able to see these deficiencies. So it's not one that I think happens. It's not one that someone has told me that it's happened. I can see it. Now, that being said, can you have bad sources, right? They talk about through here in this article and I'm like, oh boy. They talk about beef-based burgers, like Now, if you go to one of the fast food joints and you say, hey, I'm going to have a beef burger, and majority, I think it's, I have to look at the exact statistics, but I think 50% of in a restaurant, in order for something to qualify as meat, at least 50% of that has to be meat. The rest of it can be fillers. So back in like 2012, there was a big class action lawsuit against Taco Bell because they didn't qualify. Their ground beef didn't even qualify to actually be called meat. How sad is that? So that's very different than if I make a burger at my house. We bought half a cow, grass-fed, grass-finished. Literally, the farmer we know personally took the cow, brought him to the butcher. We did exact cuts that we wanted. And like, here's what that cow looks like, point A to point B. So the amount of good, healthy saturated fats, the amount of non-inflammatory fats, it's less than omega-6s, grass-fed, grass-finished, antibiotic-free, organic, and I make a burger at home, that is not going to include all the junk that's in someone else's made burger that can sustain on the shelf or in the freezer or fries up normally on that grill like it would from a fast food restaurant, right? And so when you say a beef burger, when you say this beef-based burger, yeah, if you're going to a fast food joint and that's what you get, yeah, you're probably not that good off. But then the other thing that I see is this too. What other ingredients are in there? You know, so when you look at the ingredients for like an Impossible Burger, it's bioengineered, right? And so when you talk about like bioengineered, there's a symbol on the Impossible Burgers, right? Bioengineered. And it's a symbol that's in accordance with the National Bioengineered Food Disclosure Law passed by Congress in July of 2016. It establishes a national mandatory standard for disclosing food that are or may be bioengineered. The Impossible Burger contains two bioengineered ingredients, the soy leg hemoglobin and soy protein. If it's the first time you've seen this symbol, they say you're not alone. Compliance with this law is voluntary until January of 2022. But they're all about transparency, so they like to be ahead of the curve to let you know that that food is bioengineered. Right, so we think that this is healthy, but when you're going through and doing this, same thing too. Soy protein concentrate, yeast extract, the bioengineered, the hemoglobin, soy protein isolates, right? It's just a bunch of odd stuff. Potato protein, methylcellulose, that's all in that burger. So is it really healthier because you're not eating meat, or you just need to evaluate the source of meat that you have, right? So that's my thing with this, is that they say, hey, it might be better for the planet, but hey, there's still a lot of saturated fat. Well, what types of saturated fat? Because the Beyond Burger is full of canola oil, which canola oil is high in omega-6s. It's incredibly inflammatory. It's all like, that's another genetically modified, right? Stands for Canadian oil, low acid. It's made from rapeseed oil. So when you look at that, it's like, oh, I want to be healthier, but I'm going to eat this. That's really just a bunch of stuff made in a lab, bioengineered, put together, but it's plant-based, right? And so we've demonized meats, but why don't we look at like, how is that healthier? What if, and this is my thing, is that so many people are wildly successful when they go vegetarian or vegan because of the sheer point that they add more real foods into their diet, right? You start eating more fruits, you start eating more vegetables, you start eating more real food. So what if you still had a lot of really good, clean meats that had all of the essential amino acids that you had to get from your nutrition, from your diet, but then you did that same thing and you forced yourself to increase fruits and increase all of the vegetables and the healthy grains. And what if, and the great fats, like what if you just did that? Would your nutrition change? So is that really meat's problem, or is it the fact that your diet is not full of the proper amount of nutrients that it should, regardless of the meat you put in? So just one of those, it's some food for thought, literally. If you thought that was interesting, There's more when we come back.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne. Just keep moving on. Just keep pushing ahead. Yeah, the new has come. All the old is dead. Just keep moving on. Keep your eyes on the prize. And that word in your heart, yeah, will be all right. We got that.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can go online, check us out, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Now, today, we are going into a little bit about how sugar, aka the holidays, for most of us, affect the immune system. So, how sugar affects the immune system. Because here's where I get incredibly frustrated. And if you know anything about me, it's just, okay, so here, let's break it down, right? Before I go. Flu season, right? Oh no, flu season is coming. Flu season is here. Flu season. Question. Where does the flu go during the summer? Where does it go? Why is this now the season? And I can tell you that there are four seasons. And the flu is not one of them, right? I do believe that it is low vitamin D season, right? We don't see a lot of the sun. Our natural vitamin D decreases. Vitamin D is a huge, huge component of your immune system, right? So if you're not getting natural vitamin D and you're not supplementing with that, then you're more prone to get the flu. But is that the flu season or pneumonia or what? Is it pneumonia season now too? It's a deficiency in vitamin D syndrome. I think it's also, it's cold, it's snowy and rainy, so we don't go outside. So I think it's lack of exercise season, right? Bacteria, virus, disease processes hate oxygen. They hate it. It's way easier to like just stay inside when it's cold, rainy, it's not great outside. So I think it's lack of exercise season. I think we eat terrible, right? Oh my gosh, I've got the sweats on now. Stretchy belly lines, big old hoodies, comfy sweaters. So we don't eat as well. We have Halloween, all the Halloween candy. Which, by the way, can we just talk about this? So I've talked to parents a lot about this, but this is my first year of actually living it. So I have a 2.5-year-old. And people always wonder, like, do we still do fun things? And the answer is yes. We still do fun things. Like, he dressed up, as PJ Masks, right? He was Gecko. Mom's, dad's, you'll feel me, the green one. Anyways, he would only put on, like, half the outfit, but whatever. It's win, lose, or draw with a 2-year-old. Pick your battles, right? So we went out. We trick or treat and he had the bucket and they dumped in the candy and all that stuff. And they let him have 2 pieces. That being said, I really have a hard time knowing what I know getting down with the dyes. So like the M&Ms, the Skittles, the brightly colored stuff, like those were not on the table. But so he got to choose 2 and he ate them. And then we traded. I know some people will do like the switch, where they go to bed and they wake up and the switch came and it's a lot of. So we traded. So we got Toy Story 4 and a coloring book. And he said, Mom, where'd my candy go? Where'd my candy go, Mom? Mom, where'd my candy go? My candy's all gone. I said, yeah, because we traded it, buddy. He said, I traded? It's like, you sure did. Mom, where'd my candy go? It's gone. But here's the thing. Even from that, like, he still thinks about it. And if I was to say every time he asked me if he had a piece of candy, this kid would literally be dozens of pieces of candy in. There's no way. Sugar has a huge effect on your immune system. So yeah, he got to go trick-or-treating. We swapped it out. You know what some will do? Like, you can go to Chuck E. Cheese, or you can have a toy, or you can, right? Whatever it is. You can have additional screen time, whatever that is. But I will do that. I will allow my children to go trick-or-treating, and then we are swapping out their candy. They are not going to eat that candy all year round. I was that kid who grew up on that, and I was a sick kid. It was a super sick kid because I, you know, flu season, but it's like, no, you literally have had that candy since it's like March. You've had it since October. Like, get out of here. It's crazy. So look, people, you don't eat well for Halloween. We don't eat well for Thanksgiving and all the Thanksgivings, right? There's multiple Thanksgivings for multiple sides of the families, work parties, holiday parties, Christmas parties, New Year's parties, all of these things. Is it really the flu season? It's not. It's making poor decisions for our health season that culminates into decreasing our immune system so it allows the flu to come in season. That's not as marketable, though. So, also makes for a really long title. So let's talk about how sugar affects your immune system, right? So, here's something that's interesting. It's actually from Dr. Mark Hyman. He's an MD. He just wrote a book that said, was named Food. What the heck should I eat? And he said some estimates from the U.S. government surveys says that the average American consumes 152 pounds of sugar and about 133 pounds of flour, which converts to sugar annually. Let me say that again. The average American consumes 152 pounds of sugar annually and about 133 pounds of flour annually. That's crazy. Together, that's more than 3/4 of a pound of sugar and flour for every American daily. Right? Sugar impacts on your health and immune system. Plays a complex role in your hormones, in your metabolic function, in your immune system processes that can severely affect and threaten human health. Right? So some of the impact is immediate. Some of the impact that you have of sugar is immediate. So refined sugar can actually reduce how your white blood cells perform. So white blood cells is like your immune system. There's a lot of different types of white blood cells. And it increases your inflammatory markers. In fact, obese people have fewer white blood cells with a reduced capacity to fight infection. Think about this. It increases your inflammatory. Almost immediately, that sugar impacts your inflammation. Can I tell you that out of everything, from a time component that people, I've been coming here for months. How come my low back's starting to hurt now? And it was getting better, right? And I say, has your nutrition changed at all? And most people say, well, no. Well, of course not. Really? Didn't you? What'd you do last weekend? They say, oh, I went to my holiday party from work. Oh. So you didn't have any of the crackers, any of the dips, any of the breads, any of the, right, stuffings, any of the desserts, any of the cocktails? Definitely not, right? And I'm like, oh, well, of course. Of course. They actually found simple sugars not only reduce white blood cells' ability to fight and kill off bacteria and viruses, Direct studies on sugar's effect on the lymphocyte function is now 4 decades old. They've been doing this forever. It's not new. And it's not just sugar. It's the things that turn into sugars as well, right? So we're talking about the average American, 133 pounds of flour a year. That's bread. That's pastas. That's cereals. That's sandwiches. That's, right? Like, that's crazy. Of course, white blood cells. So again, is it the flu season, right? Is the flu running rampant? Or do you have a reduction in your white blood cells and are all your inflammatory markers greatly increased because of the sugar you consumed? And it's usually not just one bite at one party. That's the other hard part too, right? There's a lot of it. What about hormone balance? If you have irregular hormones, do you think that could have an effect on your health? Absolutely. So the hormonal effect of sugar on the immune system flexes, but insulin is a major player. So when you eat a large amount of sugar, your blood sugar increases. Insulin is a hormone that's released by your pancreas to help normalize those blood sugar levels. But over time, your cells become overwhelmed and resistant to the signal of this hormone. We call that insulin resistance, which leads to type 2 diabetes and all of its related complications, including impairment of the immune system. So again, when you look at the immune system function, and I've got articles for all of these that you look, I mean, this comes out from the Journal of Obesity in 2013 and the role of immune system in obesity and insulin resistance, right? So yes, obviously we think about weight, but if you are or you know someone who's insulin resistant, type 2 diabetic, know this. There is 100% of action steps that you can take to start reversing that type 2 diabetes. 100. That is like the best thing about it, is that you want to see some numbers change, follow the right person, be able to lead them down the right path and watch those numbers. Same thing. I was talking to an individual today about PCOS, right? PCOS is highly, highly linked to insulin resistance. So you think this isn't going to have any effect, but yet those crackers, that pasta, that mac and cheese, that sandwich, those extra scoops of ice cream in the evening that you have, right? Those extra cocktails full of soda. Those are the things that's like, can that lead to your inability to have a baby? Very well could be. Because hormonally, it ends up insulin resistance, which can cause PCOS, right? All of these things, all of these health problems. But yeah, what do we do when we see something like PCOS? You got to take some birth control pills. Nothing else is going to fix it unless you get pregnant. But you can't get pregnant because you got PCOS, right? Like, come on. Guys, you got to find someone to look at the overall root cause of the problem in all essentials of life. 5 essentials, nutrition, nervous system, which is what controls your immune system, oxygen, toxicity load, decreasing that, right? Mindset. There are a couple other problems that these holiday sugars may cause, and I tell you what they are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I am Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is just $25. Today, we're talking a bit about how sugar affects your immune system. This is a big deal. I am telling you, I don't agree when people say, oh, it's just flu season. It's just flu season. But again, my question to you is, where does the flu go from April until August? Right? Like, where does it go? Just disappears. The problem, and this is the same reason why, for this, right? Why is it that, say I have the flu, rampant, super sick, feeling disgusting, and I sneeze on you and I sneeze on your significant other, and you get the flu and they don't. Why? Because it's your flu season, but not theirs. Their flu season doesn't start for another couple weeks. Right? Like, guys, that's not how it works. It's not how it works. The problem is that your immune system is weaker, which is why your immune system can't fight that virus and theirs can. So what do we do to start strengthening the immune system? And we'll talk about that. But before we get into that, I'm still going to talk about the damage that sugar does to your body. So part of sugar's addictiveness stems from its impact on your brain's chemical messaging. Daily binging on sugar releases dopamine, which is associated with your brain's reward center. But that feeling doesn't last. So after the initial dopamine release comes the negative effects of sugar on the brain. So consuming foods and beverages with refined sugar can actually trigger depressive symptoms. Trigger depressive symptoms. So then people go, oh, it's just the season. It's just the season. But literally when you look at from a research component, like it's absolutely amazing to see what we do to our bodies. What we do, not what is done to our bodies, not with the seasons, not with the weather, not what, you know, what we do to our bodies. I literally saw an article that talked about how they had two shock pads and they had a mouse on each shock pad as a research study. And one mouse had sugar and the other one had cocaine. And they fed it to them, right? And you think about like the addictive properties that we know, I don't personally know, but right. But like cocaine's addictive to people. And so they would shock every time this mouse would eat, they'd zap it. And so they would eat, zap, eat, zap, eat, zap. And eventually one of the mice said, this is ridiculous. I'm done. And it was the mouse with the cocaine. It was like, I'm out. But then Guess what the mouse with the sugar did? It just kept getting shocked. And I'm like, how true is that in every other regard in our life that we see all of these things? We're eating tons of sugar. So our immune system is shot and we get sick, right? Our hormones are way off. We become insulin dependent. We have to start taking metformin and insulin, but we still keep eating it. And now we're depressed, right? And we still keep eating it. We still like our body. It's not a physical actual jolt, but we're getting all of these things that are telling us and begging us. Our body is begging us with symptoms to stop doing this. But it just tastes so good, right? Come on. They talk about chronic low-grade inflammation as a key factor in numerous disease processes, including cardiovascular disease, diabetes, dementia, and sugar, especially sugar-sweetened beverages and sodas, is one of those inflammation triggers. Right? Refined sugar breaks down into two simple sugars in the body, glucose and fructose. While nearly every cell can use glucose, only liver cells can metabolize fructose. So studies show fructose can increase inflammation while raising your stress hormone cortisol, which turns into belly fat. Fructose. Where does fructose come from? It's fruit sugars, right? So watermelon, pineapple, bananas, peaches, apples, oranges. Oxidative stress. Right. So oxidative stress plays a major role in nearly every chronic and degenerative illness. They find that free radicals are a byproduct of cellular metabolism. So your body's antioxidant defenses can handle a normal amount. But under certain conditions, your defense systems become overwhelmed, leading to oxidative stress. Sugar causes that. Obesity, we talked about that. Your body can only handle so much excess sugar, so it turns excess sugar into fat, right? Which is why a lot of those like high protein, low carbohydrate diets see such a large amount of weight loss, because it, one, is not putting in excess sugars, but then your body's like, well, if I don't have sugar to burn for fuel, what am I going to burn? It's going to say, let's burn all the extra fat that's in there. So what can we do? What can we do to help? One, I will tell you, for any holiday party, eat before you go. Eat a good, healthy, clean meal. Because what that's going to do is, and I'm guilty of this too, right? Because then what you do is you stand and you just snack and you snack and you snack and you snack. And the snacks are typically not very healthy, right? You might throw a couple of vegetables on your plate, a piece of broccoli, a couple little baby carrots. You dip them in some ranch. You feel like you're doing good because you got your raw veggies in for the day. Right? Come on. Eat before you go. You have to supplement with vitamin D. If you don't have the sun in your life, then you have to add more sun to your diet. And a lot of the times it's fortified with D2. I will tell you, I personally take 5,000. I use a vitamin D3, not D2. Cochrane research actually shows that D2 increases your overall mortality. Yes, I said that taking vitamin D2, according to Cochrane research, actually shows that it will increase your overall rate of mortality. Is that why you take supplements? No, not to die faster or from all-cause mortality, but to die slower, which is what D3 does. Stop with the sugar, right? And sometimes it's a lot of sugar that we know about, the piece of pie, right? And other times it's the creamer in your coffee. It's the extra sugar that's in your oatmeal, your pre-packaged oatmeal. It's the extra sugar that's in your dressings. It's extra sugar that's in your pasta sauces, right? It's the extra sugar that's in, like, all the other, like I said, condiments. You see ketchup, salad dry, all the, right? So sometimes it's like really obvious you had a bowl of ice cream. And other times it's you binged on a whole bunch of watermelon and had cereal for breakfast, right? Like, it's whole grain and it's fruit, right? It all still turns into sugar though. So these are ones where get out, start exercising, get oxygen in your body. These are the things that allow for your body to be able to fight the flu. It's flu season all the time, but you give your body better things in the summer that allows it to fight it more effectively. Now, oftentimes people wonder, what does it look like when they come into our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic? And it's a great question. It is very simple. You come in and we'll go through initial exam and consultation. Everybody, when they come in, has different goals. Right? Every single person has different goals. So yours might be to deal with insulin. Yours might be because you have chronic headaches, right? Like, we all know that there are different health goals. And so that's what it allows us to see. Initial exam and consultation, like, I had someone who I referred out for an MRI before I even adjusted them because they were having bowel and bladder problems and wanted to make sure that we crossed all of our T's and dotted all of our I's neurologically before we did any adjusting. There are some people who, I had someone who just had a big chunk of their spine removed. I have other people who, I'm super stoked to share with you a testimony of a patient who has come in who literally her life has been 100% transformed for the better. And to the point where she was going to have an invasive autopsy surgery where they literally cut her open just to search to figure out what was wrong because they had no idea at all. So these where it's like, let's figure out what is going on with you. And when we can figure out what's going on with you, it allows us to dig deeper, get to the root cause of problems. That's inevitably what we need to do. Let's get down to the root cause of problems and get to the cause. Right? Easy. That's what we do. Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Initial exam and consultation is $25. Come in, sit down, figure out what's going on. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can go online to schedule an appointment at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. It's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is $25. Thanks so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week. Always remember, though, that your power is on.